At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
This morning on the third hour of Today, it's our countdown to Paris. The Olympics, just 100 days away.
You can almost feel the atmosphere of the 13,000 people.
We're going to take you inside the preparations at the City of Lights and tell you what to expect when my Tirico joins us live from France. Then we'll say bonjour to some of the newest members of Team USA. The men's 3x3 basketball team live on our plaza, giving us a lesson in their fast-paced game. And we're going to break down which U.S. athletes are chasing history today, Wednesday, April 17, 2024.
Live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza, this is the third hour of Today.
Bonjour and welcome to the third hour of Du Jour on this special morning. You know what day this is?
I don't know.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Hawk Day!
Or as they say in Paris, Du Jour le Boss.
Are you serious? I'm wondering how you say it.
Du Jour le Boss.
Du Jour le Boss.
There you go.
Is it not just so beautiful?
It is. It's really Paris beautiful. On the plaza. We are throwing an Olympic-sized celebration marking 100 days until the Paris Olympics. We've been talking with some members of Team USA this morning. They're gearing up for the games. We've got a gold medal-worthy crowd brimming with excitement. Uh-huh. And we want to thank Noggin Hats for providing some of this headgear.
Here. Come here.
There you go.
Look at that hat.
There you go.
There we go.
And in fact,
they've got them on.
Our control room is getting in on the fun. They've got, you know, our producers. We've always said our producers have had big heads, but so they finally got hats to match.
There you go. They're very slimming.
Yes, exactly.
There you go. Well, we have so much to talk about today. Not to mention, we are going to get a basketball lesson from some of the newest members of Team USA. In fact, we are holding our own practice out here on the plaza today.
But first, as much fun as we are having here, it does not compare to what's happening in the City of Lights. They are rushing to put the finishing touches on all the venues just a few months before thousands of fans and athletes descend on their city. NBC's Keir Simmons is live there with a look behind the scenes at the host city. Hey, Keir.
Keir, your
sorry,
weather,
sorry for the
your
rain
weather has not been too good the last couple days.
Someone once sang I Love Paris in the Springtime, didn't they? I think they may have missed my umbrella's coming down. Listen, I can promise you that when the summer comes, it will be summer weather and it will be spectacular. Over there on the River Seine, the opening ceremony with 10,500 athletes on 160 boats with more than 300,000 people lining the banks of the river, not standing in the rain, for the biggest event Paris has ever held.
This morning, the Olympic flame en route from Greece to Paris. Just 100 days from the City of Lights, first Olympics in 100 years. And now, a first glimpse of the stunning venues built at some of the city's most famous sites.
Oh my goodness. It's incredible.
Under the Eiffel Tower, NBC News shown around the beach volleyball.
This is exciting. I mean, to actually see it like this, you get a really a feeling for how it's going to be.
Yeah, indeed. It is really exciting. You can almost feel the atmosphere of the 13,000 people.
The centerpiece set to be the River Seine, hosting the opening ceremony. This week, President Macron saying for the first time that France has backup locations planned if security threats arise. Now, many Olympic locations visible from a riverboat or bateau mouche. My guide, Paris podcaster Oliver G.
This is where it's all going to happen. This is the Pont Alexandre III, a really famous bridge. And on both sides, we're going to be having Olympic events.
That side and this side?
Both.
Wow.
In total, there are 24 venues scattered in and around Paris. In the Place de la Concorde, skateboarding, and for the first time, breakdancing. At Les Invalides, archery. In the Grand Palais, taekwondo and fencing. While just 9 miles outside Paris, the spectacular Chateau de Versailles, home of Louis XIV, who had a passion for horses, will stage the Olympic equestrian events.
There will be a beautiful perspective on the Grand Canal and with a backdrop with the Chateau de Versailles.
Up to 40,000 spectators will watch competing riders encircle the magnificent golden fountains. Then a different kind of gold. At a French jewellery house, the Paris 2024 medals, set with tiny fragments of the Eiffel Tower and encased in bespoke Louis Vuitton trunks. Heightened security means every apartment overlooking events will be searched.
Your Parisian apartment.
Boston native Susan Godden shows us around her magnificent Paris home.
Look at this!
Yes. She has volunteered to greet athletes when the games begin.
It's such a beautiful city, and I want everyone that comes here to have a wonderful experience and walk away, fall in love with it like I have.
Back here live, I can promise you, it is a good idea to have events outside in Paris in July and August, guys. I bet Tarico remembered his raincoat. I'm sure he did. Well, keep your baguette dry, Keir. In the meantime, how do you say nemesis in French? The NBC Olympics primetime host and our good friend Mike Tirico is getting rained on as well. Mike, how you doing?
Can I talk to Chanel? I don't want to talk to Dylan and Al right now.
So Mike, I'm sure, as Keir said,
I was going to say, they asked if they could see the Eiffel Tower and move the umbrella. So since the rain's coming this way, I'll let you see the Eiffel Tower while I get wet. Because you may not know what it looks like.
That's right. Nobody's ever seen it before. Well, so the Olympic Games are really, including because of the Eiffel Tower, going to look so much different because they're going to be integrating so many of the events into, like, the Eiffel Tower, so many of these big landmarks.
That's what's so cool about these games and is different. Every city, you get to see the background of the city, the backdrops, but those are usually in shots that we show around events, going to commercial. Here, it's going to be right in the middle of the competition. We'll have the beach volleyball at the foot of the Eiffel Tower. They'll have what they're being termed generically as the urban sports, but skateboarding. Breaking, which is breakdancing to all of us, but breaking. 3-on-3 basketball, 3x3 that you guys are going to talk about later on in the show. Those are all happening at Place de la Concorde. Big plaza, one of the most famous places in French history. So incorporating those venues, those iconic venues, as part of the places where we're going to have Olympic sports is just going to make it even more special.
And Mike, you're hosting the opening ceremony, which we understand is also going to have really unprecedented aspects of the games. Can you talk about how it's going to be different from past ceremonies? I think it's going to be breathtakingly beautiful.
Absolutely. They've always been coming to stadium. Somebody's holding the flag, a placard with the name of the country. The athletes are marching behind, and it's great. But this plan is very different. It is a flotilla of the best athletes in the world on boats coming down the Seine, down one of the most famous and beautiful and iconic rivers in the world, taking in Notre Dame, the Louvre, all the places you see as you come down. So it could really be something that we've never seen before, and a spectacular way to say Paris will host the games that are different from some of the other cities that have hosted before.
Mike, I am sure you are learning everything you need to know about every athlete that will be at the Olympics. So let's start with Simone Biles. You know, it was in Tokyo when we heard a thing or two about the twisties. She did take some time off. She seems like she's better than ever now. So what are USA Olympics gymnastics chances?
They're great, as usual, Dylan, but I'm glad you gave me a softball to start with, right? Simone Biles' story is so great. What I love about the whole story, too, is that she could have walked away and still been known as the best gymnast of all time. Mm-hmm. But I don't think she enjoyed that the last chapter was how it went down in Tokyo. So the opportunity to come back and really the fortitude to come back, put herself in a position to win the world championships last year and try to come back and win another gold medal. And if she wins the all around as an individual, it would be the second time she's done it. That's been done a few times before, but it's always been back to back. It would be the first person to do it, not in consecutive Olympic Games. So that's a pretty special one. And then there's Katie Ledecky, three medals. If she can win three, she'll become the most decorated woman in Olympic history for the United States.
You know, Mike, she was actually out on our plaza when she was a year old with her family.
That's amazing.
And now here she is, just amazing, just incredible.
That's crazy.
And Mike, we do have to talk about basketball.
It is.
They just revealed the men's roster.
Yeah.
I mean, the talent on the team, how do you beat U.S. men's basketball? I mean, how do you think the competition will be for these guys?
That has been the story for so many years. And the average age is 30, which is the oldest, which in some ways is pretty cool because we're bringing back some guys for one last run, like LeBron James. And Steph Curry's never been there, even though he's done everything else in the NBA. Warriors not making a deep run through the postseason, so he'll probably be fresh for it. So many different names. But I will say this. The rest of the world is getting so much better at basketball. So while all the names are familiar and they should win, the games will be tighter than we got used to when the Dream Team first came to us in the late 80s.
That's not a slam dunk, that's for sure. Mike, thank you so much. Can't wait to be out there with you, my friend.
Same here. I'm so glad I have a Today Show umbrella to take back with me from Paris.
We're going to get you a bigger one. That's the kid's umbrella. We're going to get you the adult one very soon.
Thanks,
okay.
Mike.
Of course.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Roker.
You bet. You can watch all of the Olympic action this summer right here on NBC and Peacock.
All right. Still to come. Speaking of basketball, we have the men's 3x3 team here live telling us all about the fast-paced sport and we're going to play a little game of pickup.
We should. I don't think
what could go wrong?
It's not going to go well.
We'll be right back.
Oh boy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We are back with more of our countdown to the Paris Olympics, now just 100 days away.
And we have some very special guests here. They are the members of the U.S. men's 3x3 basketball team.
Meet Jimmer Fredette, Kenyon Barry, Kareem Maddox, and Dylan Travis. Guys, welcome.
Thanks, guys, for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. We're so thrilled having you guys here. So this is the first time that the 3x3 U.S. men's team's qualified for the Olympics. How special is it going to be competing on this stage like Paris for the Olympics?
Yeah, I mean, the Olympics in general, obviously, unbelievable stage. Having it in Paris in one of the best cities in the world is going to be incredible. We're just honored to be a part of Team USA, obviously. We're super excited. It's a dream come true. I grew up watching the Olympics, and to be able to have a chance to be a part of it is going to be special.
Kenyon, what was your initial reaction when you found out, you know what, you made the cut?
I was actually pretty emotional. You know, it's been a long process for a lot of us to qualify for Paris, and to finally get that news and realize that our dreams have been achieved was super meaningful.
That's awesome.
And Kareem, I think it's wild. You actually completely left basketball. You got into radio and storytelling, so you were following that dream. Now, here you are going to the Olympics following, you know, that dream. So what advice do you have for people who just want to follow a dream?
Yeah, follow your heart. I mean, I think it's one of those things where basketball just kept calling to me. And I kept refusing the call until finally I just was like, I got to do it.
We're glad you answered. Yeah. Now, Dylan, you had kind of a similar path. You were in teaching, which is, you know, one of the greatest professions that we need. What drew you back to this, and how excited are you for this?
Yeah, it was great. 3x3 is great because it's, you know, you do it on the weekend, so I wasn't missing a ton of time with work. And then when USA came calling to play with them last year to qualify us for the Olympics, you know, I put my teaching career on hold and kind of, like Kareem said, followed a dream to go full-time basketball. And, you know, it paid off and worked out and for the Olympic team now. So
what do you teach?
Special education.
Oh, God bless you.
Yes. So 3x3 is a little different from what most people are used to seeing. Can anybody explain just kind of quickly how it works?
Yeah, for sure. So it's you play half court, right? So that's a little bit different. There's a 12-second shot clock. So it's very fast paced.
Always
12 seconds. And it's continuous play. So whether you make it or you miss it, you take the ball and you have to clear it behind the 3-point line and then you just continue to play.
Wow.
So there's only a stoppage if there's a foul or if it goes out of bounds. So it can get tiring and very physical. And then you play by ones and twos instead of twos and threes. So those
are going to try to play? Well, we do like to make ourselves look ridiculous.
All right. Perfect.
Yeah. So general coach.
I'm gonna coach you three against my. So we're going to win. We're going to win because you know what I'm saying? So, you three start with the ball, okay? So we'll come up top.
Go ahead, Al.
So, Al, maybe you take here. Dylan, maybe
I'll
come on this
Al.
Side. Chanel, over there.
Now
you're on defense.
Now you're on defense.
Yeah, now you're
trying to score.
Oh, Pat. Oh, good D. Oh, watch out. Hey, get him. No. Hey, stop him. Stop him.
We should be playing the Harlem Globetrotters.
Now you guys got it. Now you guys go out.
It's literally like
that.
Here we go. Here we go. Yeah.
Switch.
Oh, yeah. Al, oh, I got. Oh, nice pass.
Assist from Jimmer. I know. Great job.
Well played. Well played.
You got him up.
She's a shooter.
Jimmer, Canyon, Dylan, and Kareem, thank you so much. Oh, all the best coming up in Paris. Can't wait to be there watching you. And, of course, you can tune into all the Olympic action this summer right here on NBC and
I love that. Anybody 4'11 on your team? All right. That's our countdown to the Paris Olympics rolls on. We are talking everything from history makers to that iconic music in our series By the Numbers. And then later, a business idea that just clicked. How one company is bringing old school technology into the modern age. We'll be right back. Thank you to our Olympians.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
We are just 100 days away from the Paris Olympics, so we are breaking down all the numbers to know this summer. Here to share some golden nuggets is NBC News business and data correspondent Brian Chung. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning.
All right, so let's take and let's talk about, when you talk about numbers, the cost of going to these games.
Yeah, well, actually, let's start off with just some numbers on just the overall stats.
Okay.
Exactly. So 100 years, this is the last time that Paris hosts the Olympics in 1924. This is the third time they're hosting. First time was in 1900.
Okay.
3 million square feet. That's how large the Olympic Village is going to be, including the walkways and also the buildings.
Wow.
In fact, the athletes' restaurant itself, it's going to have 3,200 seats, which they joke is going to be the largest restaurant in the world to accommodate all those athletes.
Can you imagine trying to accommodate, I guess, a lot of meals?
Yeah, but hopefully that means you can get a reservation
pretty
easily. So we'll see. Yeah. Security, obviously top of mind, 45,000 police personnel at the start of the Olympics that are going to be present, making sure that everyone is safe.
Okay.
And then round trip flights for those that are trying to travel from the United States, $767 on average, according to Hopper. It's actually cheaper than this time last year. So it'll be a good time to go to Paris.
Okay.
And for those that are trying to get event tickets, it's going to be about $53 or less for about half of the events, according to the Olympics.
This is
pretty
encouraging,
accessible.
Don't you think? $53?
Yeah. The more popular
ones. For some of them.
Yeah. The more popular ones could be a little more.
You can get into rhythmic gymnastics easily.
Speaking from experience,
gymnastics.
I thought you said arithmetic gymnastics.
No, yeah, like, well, that's another Olympics.
Guy,
keep going.
Yeah.
I would love arithmetic. I mean, that would be great.
Right, let's talk about the numbers of the games, like how many athletes are going to be there, how many different sports.
Yeah, so 10,500 athletes will be attending, representing over 200 international committees. So really cool to see how many people are coming in. 32 sports. We're losing a few sports. So we did lose, for example, baseball, softball, karate.
Oh.
But we are gaining breakdancing, which is pretty cool. I'm pretty excited to watch that. We have 329 medaled events for the Olympics and six sides. That's going to comprise the medal because France, they call it l'hexagon for the six sides of the country. And if you see on the medal, actually, you can kind of make out the shape of the hexagon in the center of the medal.
So, Brian, who are some of the athletes we should be watching and the potential records?
Yeah, we're going to be watching a lot of American athletes for some potential records. So first off, eight gold medals. That's how many Katie Ledecky is going to be going for in the swimming events. If she gets that, she would be tying Jenny Thompson for the record for American swimming. Now, 10.61 seconds on the track and field side. That's the 100-meter record for the Olympics. That's what Sha'Carri Richardson is going to be trying to beat as she represents the United States. One more medal in gymnastics is what Simone Biles is going to be going for to tie the record to become the most decorated U.S. athlete in gymnastics. Wow. And then lastly, six gold medals in basketball. Diana Taurasi, if she does make the roster, would indeed be looking for what would then be the most decorated team sport athlete in Olympic history if she wins gold.
All right. I know you got some fun facts for us.
Yes. So some final fun facts here. So we've got 10,000. 10,000 is the number of torchbearers that will be taking the torch beginning today. It's going to go through over 60 different areas in France. 40 years ago, I also want to bring up John Williams, the music debut for the Olympics, who also composed a number of NBC music as well.
News.
Yep, exactly. And then four Oscars was how many Chariots of Fire had won. By the way, Chariots of Fire, the 1980s movie, that was taking place in the Paris Olympics as well in 1924. So an homage to that. And then 5,000 plus hours of live coverage, of course, right here on NBC and the Peacock platforms, which will be consuming a lot of.
And of course, the big number.
The big number.
500 plus. That's how many American athletes will be rooting for during the Olympics. So go Team USA.
I wonder how many batamushes they'll be on.
What?
Those are the batamush or the boats that go down the river.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Al's just going to teach us all we need to know about Paris.
All right.
Thank you.
Why not just call the boat?
Because you're in France, they call them batamush.
batamush. Can I do the fandango? Just ahead, our series Life Lessons. If you're feeling stuck, we're going to share the three steps to reboot your purpose. But first, nostalgia on display.
Right,
the company that is flipping the script by turning back the clock on technology. We'll be right back.
Is it song?
This morning, a look at a Philadelphia company that's bucking the digital trend. They are putting a literal spin on something old to make it new. NBC's George Solis is here to show us how. Hey, George.
Good morning. Hey, good morning. Yeah, very cool story. Very cool technology. Yeah, longtime and frequent travelers. Yeah, they may be already familiar with these split flap boards. We have one here delivering relevant information. It's an audible and visual treat for the senses. Now, this company, Oat Foundry, has tapped into that nostalgia, and they're bringing it back and sharing it all around the globe.
You could call them a timeless classic with a lot to say. Simple, elegant, and just plain cool. For decades, split flap boards have been turning heads at airports and train halls, conveying info for travelers through a treat for the eyes and ears. And while most displays have gone digital, like the beloved display at Philadelphia's 30th Street Station, just a quick drive nearby, Oat Foundry is not only hand-building them, they're bringing retro back.
All right, welcome to Oat Foundry. Let's do a little tour.
All right, I'm excited, which I quickly learned is no picnic.
That's the correct way to do it incorrectly.
Yeah. The correct way to do it incorrectly. Yeah,
the company successfully turning the clock back on split flap. So far, installing more than 300 boards in offices, bars, and restaurants in 30 states and in 23 countries and counting. Google, Carnival Cruises, and Starbucks among some of the big names going analog. In New York City, more than 650,000 daily travelers are greeted by the flutter of flaps, delaying transit data at the Irish Exit Bar in Moynihan Train Hall.
So why split flap?
There's something nostalgic about it. It's a timeless design. And so we started making them and really just falling in love with it. It's definitely a romantic product to build.
Mark Kuhn is CEO and one of the co-founders of the now multi-million dollar company started in 2013 with a mission to build cool stuff. Challenged by their restaurant client Honeygrow to create a new way to call orders, the team realized they could flip the script on digital advertising.
You bank on split flaps, and it's paid off in pretty big dividends, it sounds like.
We knew that there was something special about this, and then we're able to grow not just business operations, but our team here with the necessary roles for that.
Behind every click, 50 characters per carousel moving in tandem create every clack.
there's definitely a ballet that happens. I mean, you're talking about tens of thousands of moving pieces.
Fast Company writer Nate Berg, covering design, agrees Oat Foundry's mix of innovation and tradition is part of a spiked interest in the antiqued.
We've seen this push towards novelty items like typewriters, vinyl, and now split flap. Is there a growing market for more analog?
I think there is. I mean, it's going to be a niche, but this kind of sign, I think, is going to be really useful in a cafe setting, a restaurant, a bar. It's mostly just to differentiate themselves, like to have something that customers maybe don't expect or don't get to see wherever they go.
The team moving beyond letters, numbers, and characters with full color images.
Picture Flap came out of Split Flap.
Each design made to order for however big or small the client is willing to pay.
They're built to last. We have a sign in our shop that's been running for 39 million rotations, which for the average user is like 300 years of use.
So there's longevity here.
Yeah, you're buying quality.
Longevity, Oat Foundry appreciates for those who are willing to stop and listen.
Do you think we're in an era or revisiting a time where we're going to see more analog technology come back?
I hope so. I think that there's a future where the technology that we see, the analog technology we see, can have all that magic, but it doesn't have to just be a black obelisk glass screen in your pocket. It doesn't have to just be the digital glow of screens in an airport or train station. It can be this warmer sort of handshake between where we are now and where we're going.
Really cool.
Yeah, thanks to our friends at Oat Foundry for actually making a similar display right here for us, branded with today on it. And they even etched it with the logo here. So thanks to them.
Wow.
You guys want to check it out and play with it?
I mean, he was so poetic with his words, but to think of it as a handshake, it's warm, it's comforting.
I love it. Familiar. It's familiar.
And we all remember them. Yeah, you go into a train station, the airport, whatever.
That's so cool.
It's visual and, as you said, an oral thing.
Price tag on that one's free, but if you want one of these for your business, they start about $50,000.
Wow. Mm.
So they're definitely for, you know, some businesses. And the company is actually hoping to bring back the split flap board to 30th Street Station. So anyone that traveled there remembers it. They say, like, hey, as soon as we get the call, we're ready to build one. Of course, they took it out because it's getting harder to find parts for the old ones.
This is not
last forever.
Reliable.
And
you could just plug it in with an app or what you want it to say, and then it just does it?
Exactly. That torture sign that they showed us, really cool. The only second time they ever stopped it was for us to actually film it. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Plug it in so that it'll say what you want. That's what our producers want for us.
That is true. They try.
Exactly.
George, thank you.
Thank you, George.
Thanks, George.
That was good.
All right, coming up, we've got a really great life lesson. The importance of finding a sense of purpose and why we may actually be thinking about it all along. Then later, we're going to sample some creative concoctions.
Ooh.
Oh, yes, mommy. You've never had spring cocktails like these. Third hour of the day. I'll be right back.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
We are back with some valuable life lessons for every age, because at some point, a lot of us can feel like we're stuck in a rut. But there are ways to rediscover and reignite our sense of purpose.
So here to help us is Dr. Sue Varma, board-certified psychiatrist and author of the book Practical Optimism. Dr. Varma, good to see you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we all think we know what purpose is, but you say that, you know, we've got some misconceptions about it and how we actually define it.
Yes. So I define purpose as our soul's way of engaging with the world that aligns with our own unique talents, interests, and hobbies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times when we feel stuck, we may feel as if we lost a sense of purpose, mm-hmm. but maybe it's really that we're holding on to a sense of purpose that no longer fits. And when I think of the misconceptions, a lot of us think that our purpose has to come from our paycheck, that it has mm-hmm. to be big or glamorous or important, or that other people have to understand it. But the reality is that our purpose evolves over time just mm-hmm. as we do. And it's important that we be really intentional and figure out what is it that we want now? Who am I right now?
I love that. Because if you wait for your job to be the thing to fulfill your purpose, sometimes it's just not it. Right?
Absolutely.
So let's talk about three steps to help us start to, you know, purpose our reboot.
Yes. And so I picked this acronym, acknowledge, identify, and move forward. AIM, right? It's both like a noun and a verb. And the acknowledgement comes from recognizing what circumstances led me to choose the path that I'm on right now. And then the situation that I'm in right now, do I need to take responsibility for it? A lot of times people want to blame like, oh, my parents, mm-hmm. this, that.
But they didn't let me pursue this or that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So how can I recognize, take back some of that control and take back some ownership? Because we have to understand that maybe there were some good things and maybe there are things that we want to change. Mm. The next one is being able to identify the path that I'm on right now. Is it still serving me, right? That's really important. And then what do I need to risk so that I can gain, right? And what am I willing to let go? Because there's always that mind shift. And then the moving forward, I love this part because it's asking yourself to think with the end in mind and then move backwards. What does a life well-lived look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Mm. And then what do I love so much that I would do for free? And I'm not asking anyone to do anything for free, but right. what are you so passionate? I love talking to people,
that's
right?
That's good, though.
And I would do that for free. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, you know, let's talk about how do we do that? Like the concrete, tangible steps. And the tangible steps are purpose helps beget more purpose, and exercise boosts our sense of purpose, right? Scheduling activities that bring you pleasure and joy. Is it the knitting? Is it the gardening? Is it playing golf? Is it learning a new language, a skill, and a hobby, right? And then asking yourself, what do people know me for? What do people tell me that I'm good for, good at? And then cultivating curiosity through podcasts, through books, through films. And all of this comes from outside of your job.
Talking to other people Absolutely. That you don't know Absolutely. Also helps that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you're not telling us to like upend our lives and, you know, restart everything. I mean, how can we kind of do this in a way that still is true to ourselves?
I love that you asked that, you know, and I would say to people, even though I said your purpose doesn't have to come from your paycheck or your job, a lot of us are like, but I spend so much time at my job. How do I find meaning in the work and pleasure from the work that I'm already doing?
Good.
So this is something called job crafting. And this is looking at your job. And so much of the time we're trying to fit ourselves into the job. Here, I'm saying, make the job fit you. Mm. What is it that you're so good at, right? And a lot of times people are like, but don't give me more work, Dr. Varman. I'm like, no, think about it, right? Do you like writing? Would you do a little blog once a month for your job, for a newsletter? Mm-hmm. Do you like bringing people together? Maybe you can do a 5K. I know you just did the marathon, right? Yeah. Like, so what is it that you're already good at? I get called one time from NBC. Can you do a wellness stuff? I'm not in the wellness department, but somebody was like, I'm a producer here, but I love doing this. I care about mental health. So what are you already good at and how can you tie it? Sometimes it's about finding a task. Sometimes it's about changing the way you perceive your job. Can you link what you're doing to helping other people, right? Mm. We know that people live longer, 8.5 years longer, if they're able to connect their sense of purpose to volunteering and to helping other people. So find that connection. And sometimes it's about developing the relationships at work with people.
Really good.
It's a mind shift.
So I think a lot of people think, well, we got to blow everything up, upend everything. And you say you don't really have to do that.
No. Find meaning and purpose where you are right now. And there's so many small things that you can do. And the volunteering part, 2 hours a week, we know that it decreases inflammation in the body. Mm-hmm. Even young people get this. Teenagers that are helping younger kids with school mm-hmm. have less inflammation and cardiac disease later on in life.
When they follow physical signs that you should volunteer.
Absolutely. And that's a big part of boosting your purpose.
Yeah, that's great.
For bringing
good.
That up. Dr. Varman,
good topic.
Thank you so much.
All right. When we come back, things are just peachy in Studio 1A. We are celebrating spring with some fun cocktails that will wow your guests. And we brought in a pro today.
Oh, that's right.
We'll be right back. Time now for a little hump day pick-me-up.
We are
yes, that word. We are mixing up spring cocktails with an extra special touch today. Joining us is one of our favorites, Tim Sweeney, head bartender at Pebble Bar, which is right here in Rockefeller Center in New York City. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, I am a bartender. Everyone's confused me with one of the Olympic athletes.
I mean, that's who
you got.
I mean, you've got the same physique.
To prove I'm not an Olympic athlete, let's talk about boots.
All right. So New York Sour.
New York Sour is what we're starting off. All these cocktails are going to be topped off with something. New York Sour is like a whiskey sour. No egg white, just like Rick Dalton loved in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but we're going to top it off with red wine.
Oh.
So what I'm going to have, okay. We already have all the ingredients in here. We have simple syrup. We have lemon. We have whiskey. Dylan, put small on to top. Well, let's make sure that this is in here.
Yeah, really.
You got a beautiful white
small
shirt.
I do have a white shirt.
What I'm going to have you do is I'm going to have you pour some red wine on top of this. You're going to take that spoon.
Take the spoon.
Roll it upside down like this.
Okay.
All right. So you got to pick that up.
I'm nervous.
Do we cut the red wire or the blue wire?
Okay, ready.
All right, here we go. You got it. Oh, you're studying. Oh, you're doing it. You're doing it. You're doing it. It's perfect. It's the Matrix. There is no spoon.
That's kind of cool.
Look at that. Beautiful
that
like
is that. Cool.
That
is really
you got the touch.
Really
you're
really
you're
cool.
Mozart, I'm Salieri. I've never seen a touch.
We're wasted on
here's my question.
Now, you know,
if you didn't
it's for my dad.
If you didn't use the spoon, would it have just like
you know what? With that large block ice, it probably would have done it okay. But hey, best to do that. So it tastes like wine at the top. It's going to change as you go. And it's going to be a whiskey sour as you get down there.
Ooh, that's good.
What do we have next?
Moving to the country, going to eat a lot of peaches right here.
Ooh.
So what we have is Peaches and Regalia, named after a Frank Zappa song. So we have a lot of things in there. Just start dumping them in. Okay. Just start doing
it. That does change as you drink it.
Oh, heck yeah.
So do you.
Just keep drinking.
We also clarify it over there where we run it through milk and it takes out all the impurities. That's a whole other story, though.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we're doing some lychee liqueur.
Wow, cool.
We're doing some peach and orange vodka. We already have some vodka and some honey in there. We're going to do some lemon. Mm-hmm. We're going to do some matcha.
Ooh.
We're going to do some peach liqueur because peach is to matcha as the way metaphors describe things. It's great.
Did you just make things up?
I've made everything up my whole life. I just dance.
That's why we love
all right.
It.
Yeah.
Chanel. Well,
yes. Oh, is it my turn?
I'm going to dance behind you.
Yeah, you did. Hey, like,
okay.
Oh, wow.
All right. I want you all to start drinking on that one.
Okay. Oh, man.
Oh,
wow,
my
that
goodness.
Is delicious.
That's
delicious.
It's not bad.
You're really good at this. This is
well,
really...
you know, they do pay me.
This is...
Not enough, though. Anyone's
if anybody's listening. More.
This might be one of the best. What did you just top it off with?
So we're topping this off with club soda. Red wine, club soda. Now we're going to move on to tonic. Moving to my left, the audience is right, unless you're doing a headstand at home, which case it's both our left.
There you go.
Right down here. Wow. So my mother loved tonic cocktails. I hated them.
Okay.
So in honor of her, I tried to make a tonic cocktail that I would love.
Okay.
So it's named after her. It's called the Kathy McCarty.
Hi, Kathy.
You have to talk louder than that.
Okay.
God love you. So we're going to do a little pinch of salt on here.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to do some lemon juice.
Okay.
We're going to do some grapefruit syrup. Why don't you pour it in? I get sick of seeing my hands right here.
Where can you buy grapefruit syrup?
Grapefruit syrup is just grapefruit juice and sugar put together. Same amounts, volume.
Okay.
You added a little bit of bitter liqueur. We already had some gin in there. Al, now it's going to be your turn. Can I call you Al?
Yes, please.
Paul Simon wasn't wrong.
Thank you
Mr.
very
Roker,
much.
Mr. Roker, shake that up for me.
Hey, now.
It's my favorite song.
I love it.
Very nice.
Lovely. Tops off with a little bit of tonic on there.
Where's the tonic?
This is a souped up gin and tonic. We shook it so hard that we just can't, we don't have enough room for it anymore.
It looks pretty. All right, shall we try it?
Oh, the bitters in there really like add such a nice flavor.
This is my favorite.
Souped up gin and tonic for it. Yeah.
My favorite.
So it's a tonic that I like.
No, this is good.
Right.
That's very good.
Love that.
Okay.
Wow.
Finally. Last and not the least, this is created by future Hall of Famer Dante Colicchio, my consigliere at Pebble Bar.
Okay.
And what this is passion fruit.
Okay.
This is vanilla. This is lime. This is Reposado tequila, and it's topped off with champagne at the end.
Okay.
This is one of the most popular cocktails at Pebble Bar right now.
Okay, what's it called?
Throw it in there. This is called the Sins City.
Oh,
I would explain why, but, on network.
All right.
Passion fruit. That's vanilla.
What was this?
And we're going to give a little bit of salt on top of that.
Oh, really?
Who hasn't shaken yet?
I haven't shaken.
Okay.
Well, teach me how.
It's time
to mix it with water, make a
salad. Shake it.
I've never done it before.
Here's a chicken wing. Chicken wing, chicken wing, chicken wing, chicken wing.
Is that the secret?
You know what?
Would you shake
close
this?
Enough.
That's what I was doing.
You invented a new way. You're Tesla, I'm Edison. All right.
All right, I'm ready to try it.
We ready to do it?
Yeah, you pour, I try.
Okay.
Where's Al? You get yours?
Where's Al?
You know what I haven't gotten a drink with you all.
Yeah, how is that?
It's delicious.
My
cheers. This
dry.
Is tequila.
Cheers,
thank you, sir.
Holy cow.
There is.
Tell your mom to say hi to my mom.
Deal.
Oh, right. Man.
There you go.
That is... delicious.
This is beautiful.
Wow.
So here's the beautiful part about this. You can make this at home. Thank you, Tim.
You can make it at home.
You're by yourself and just sharing
your content.
By the way, you can save your favorite recipes from the show with a free Today account. Just scan the QR code below or head to today.com to get these recipes. These are worth it.
That's right, but do it before you start.
And access your free account. You're always so great.
Hey,
thank you so much. We'll be right back.
Coming up tomorrow on the third hour today, Sandra Oh and Hua Shande are live talking about their new spy drama.
Nice. Coming up on Hoda and Jenna, Drew and Jonathan Scott on their new HGTV series.
We'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Ooh, I'm a little wobbly.
Oh, you okay?
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.